posted that picture on my Instagram. The crazies came out swinging. What the hell was I thinking when I posted that? One little comment can start a fire. Seems we all have to feed the flame. Pack up your bags, get out of town. Everybody knows your name. Oh, it's true, it's true. There's a conspiracy. I know because I read it in the newsfeed. Ideas about religion and politics. Two sides, along with the ridiculous. I decided to share some philosophy about race and a little humanity. I thought talking up the greater good was safe, but the joke's on me. Ooh, we're all privy to endless information. Internal thoughts about masturbation. No thank you please, you've got some weird disease and I don't wanna see. Oh, it's true, it's true. There's a conspiracy. I know because I read it in the newsfeed. Ideas about religion and politics. Two sides along with the ridiculous. Recognize the misinformation. Falsehood narratives are so alive and well. Made up by someone's wild imagination. When shared on a page, I'm something they can sell. Old families torn apart by opinion over fact. And friendships ruined that won't be coming back. Some ignorant fool refusing to believe the world is melting. As a polar caps recede, it's true, it's true. There's a conspiracy. I know because I read it in the newsfeed. Ideas about religion and politics. Two sides, along with the ridiculous. It's true, it's true. There's a conspiracy. And I know because I read it in the newsfeed. Ideas about religion and politics. Two sides.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. You just heard or saw the lyric video to Two Sides. It's called Two Sides. It's the first track from the brand new album, Not What I Bargained For. It's by the Southern Florida hard rock band, The Levesey's. And we're super excited to welcome back guitarist, vocalist, songwriter, Billy Levesey. He was on our show this time last year with their album, The Rhythm of Love and Dysfunction. You can't beat their titles. You cannot beat the names. Go to their website, thelevesseysmusic.com. And that, I'm going to spell that out. It's L-I-V-E-S-A-Y-S. So The Levesey's, like Live Says Music.com. So welcome back, Billy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, so I got your name right this time, didn't I?
Absolutely.
Perfect. It's the legacy of the Levesey's. I got it. I got it.
There you go.
But listen, this album is badass. I mean, it I almost feel like the last album and this one, The Rhythm of Love and Dysfunction, should be a two-part. They should go together like they're
bookends. Yeah, you know, they're brother and sister, you know. I mean, because a lot of the songs that are on this album were actually supposed to be on the last album, but I just started writing and you know, the songs started getting intertwined. But this particular record, I mean, because I had the leftover songs, I tried to make something that was a little bit more consistent. Mm-hmm. And also I've been listening to a lot of other music too, that kind of influenced me a little bit. I mean, I was really listening a lot to Bruce Springsteen's Western Stars.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that, you know, I mean, I like everything that Springsteen does, but that for some reason, I don't know if it's because I'm older or whatever, but just that particular record is just so, it's so beautiful musically, because, you know, there seems to be a lot of colors in it. And so that's what I wanted to do with this record too.
Well, there is, it's interesting because we talked before we started recording here about the album art, right? And you've, of course, people know that you worked with Clarence Clemons, but the album art is out in the desert. And when I listen to this and you listen to Western Stars, it does feel like that magical night that you get out in the desert, like fall, winter, and spring. There's even summer. I mean, really, we used to live in the desert and love it. You know, there's this magic and there's this roughness that comes with the West. And Nancy and I actually were listening to Western Stars last night. We were listening to Wayfarer last night.
Yeah.
Remember? And we're part of a playlist we were putting together on Spotify. And by the way, I think Small Town may end up in there.
Yes, I think so.
In the Small Town. Yes, so. Yes. Because it's a story. It's all about travelers' tales is the playlist
we're putting together.
Why you travel, people who travel, sometimes to soul seekers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that too with your album, that you have that, like, figuring, it's like someone's figuring things out.
We're trying to figure things out. Yeah, I mean, you know, looking, you know, especially with the crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's like, I started saying,
I love that song.
That's, you know, especially over the last 2 years, you know, everything that's been happening, I found myself saying, that's crazy. You know, that's crazy that people are thinking that way, or people are saying those things. It just seems the world is gone crazy in itself. Even though that particular song was a song that I had written probably about 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But it was totally different. It kind of said, I had, you know, can I play something for you?
Sure. Okay. Oh, we love this. Yes.
This is cool.
I used to have a lot of fun. Lately, I've been on the run. Crazy, isn't it? And that's basically the whole, all I had in the song. So, but it was just over and over and over and over again. So, I started thinking about what's happening now, and actually what at the end of the record, where you have Can't Stop the Talking.
Yeah.
And Can't Stop the Talking has this segue at the end where it goes, it starts that, it is actually the biggest, I wanted it to be the beginning of crazy. Oh,
okay, I get it. Yeah.
Because I got this idea from listening to Western Stars. I don't know how I got off on this tangent now, because you got to come back around.
That's all good.
It's okay. Go for it.
So with crazy, isn't it? It's like, you know, just everything's, I started thinking about how the world has just definitely gone crazy, and we're all trying to figure out how to survive everything that we're doing, you know. And
if you're in England, they'd say we're bloody mental.
It's bloody mental.
We just heard that the other day. Yeah. I was watching, what was it, Russell Brent and Candace Bowen having a debate. Yeah. And then mental. He just turned around and says, it's bloody mental.
Mental.
I'm like, I don't know if you can, like, say that. If you say that here, something will happen. But yeah, I mean, Nancy,
you could say it.
Nancy and I were thinking about it, because, like, when we talked to you last fall, we were in Peachtree City, Georgia, not Oregon. And you know, we were all dealing with the pandemic and the craziness from that. And of course, politically, there was still the obvious craziness, right? But then, like, between then and now, I mean, you think about what has happened. We've had a new president. We've had the riots and the storming of the Capitol. We've got a new variant of the COVID. We've got the Delta, which has
another one. Now there's another one. It's the Israeli one. It's for something that it's an offshoot from the Delta variant. It's some sort of different one too. And that one's in Israel. So
there's that. And then there's the, you know, now we pulled out of Afghanistan and everyone's freaking out. And so, and then it's just the whole economy. And I mean, so much is happening. I wonder about how people are living through it. You know, when you have a portal like music, that helps to soothe and ease. Like if you're right, for us, we get to go out in nature. That's why we're sunburned and full of mosquitoes. Nancy's not as sunburned as I am, but full of mosquito bites, playing with alligators and swamps, which is cool. So you get this aha. So the talking stops for that moment when you're doing these things that heal and you love, right? So if you don't have those things, you've got to turn on the music. You have to drown out the jibber jabber.
Well, a lot of times music says what people are trying to say, but they don't have the right words. And they don't maybe have the right tone. And then a song will come along that's, yeah, that's exactly it. That's it. That's what I mean. You know, so I think that's how important music is, especially in times where people are confused. I think it's critical to have good music. And that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I agree. So when you wrote Better Angels, when did you write that?
Okay, Better Angels was written around January.
Really?
Yeah, it was written around January.
That's what I thought.
It was just getting really, really nice. And it was actually before the insurrection. And, you know, I have some people say, oh, that's about Trump. I go, no, it's not. And they go, yes. I go, well, what makes you say that? I say, well, because you say this, and I say, hey, if the shoe fits, right? If the shoe fits, then it probably is, but it just that whole thing gave me the idea of a person that would maybe, you know, it's like the emperor's new clothes, so to speak, you know? I started thinking about everything that was going on and with Black Lives Matter and, it seemed to be a good, and I wrote it at the same time that I was working on Troubled Times.
Okay, so it's kind of, yeah, you've got these bookends. So, okay, so this whole thing with Bruce Springsteen and Western Stars, right? I think part of how that album came to be is because of his pacing, is because of his Broadway play. Because that flow that you were talking about where one goes into the other comes from, you have to have that breathability for the audience, but still have that sneaking into the next one. It's the beauty of writing a set list, right? That right. hard thing. So I wonder about that with these two albums, if you would ever be able to do this kind of, what it is like when you get on stage, I was reading today, Freddie Mercury said, when you get on stage, it is not making a live version of the album, it is a theatrical performance.
Oh,
so I wonder about that with
excellent.
Well, with Freddie Mercury for sure.
But
with these two albums, I feel like it's in that same context of what Bruce did with his play and kind of narrating his life with music, and is really cool what he did.
Yeah, it's amazing that because we haven't played, we actually just started playing. In the summer, June, I think was like one of our first shows. We also, because I was doing this thing with Clarence, I decided that, and now the tribute band thing is really kind of exploding, over the, you know, over the last couple of years, especially even now. I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to do a tribute to Asbury Park and I'm going to tell stories that my connection with Bruce Springsteen and my stories about Clarence that relate to what I'm playing and make it a show that's about influences and the music that influenced Bruce Springsteen and the bands and the music that Bruce Springsteen influenced, you know, such as John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. You know, I mean, here's a guy that they're saying is the Kmart Bruce Springsteen, but until he did the motion picture of, you know, Eddie and the Cruisers, no one really knew who John. Right. So I started doing this. I put together this, the Levesey's Do, a tribute to Asbury Park. And, you know, we do some original songs, the songs that are most influenced by Bruce Springsteen. And again, I'm off on another tangent. I forgot what I was, my point being, but anyway, so we just started playing again. And in June was one of our first shows where we did the Asbury Park thing. And then we did one Levesey show. So we've actually only played like really three times since the COVID has started, since last year. And, you know, we never have gotten to a point where we can actually play the songs. Well, we are playing a couple of the songs from The Rhythm of Love and Dysfunction, only because they were written, you know, before COVID, and we were playing them live before we recorded the album.
Okay.
So, you know, that Can't I Have What You Have, that was done as soon as we got the new drummer in the band. We recorded that and did the video of it. I don't know if you've seen the video of that or not, but we actually had recorded it with Eddie before Eddie passed. And then when we got the new drummer in the band, I wanted to do a video, because just in case there was a time that we would do a video, I didn't want to lip sync.
Right.
The part that we're in the song. There's
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a bit of a small drum solo, and I didn't want him to have to lip sync that. So we recorded, you know, on video at the time that we recorded it.
Yeah, I remember that. And also, you've got a new piano player too, or this is someone that's been around before.
Yeah. Well, Tim was with us before. He left in 2014. Okay. So when we started doing the Asbury Park thing, Tim said, I want to do that. And we said, well, you know, yes and no. Because we kind of got a bad taste in our mouth when he left the band, even though he's a great guy, he plays great. It just said he got to a point where, you know, this is not for me. I don't do it. So I said, okay, you can do the Asbury Park thing, but not the Levesey's. Okay. Mm. So as we did the Asbury Park thing, the other guys in the band were going, you know, the band sounds really good with Tim in it. Yes, it does. But
Nancy's voting for the keys. She's a keyboardist. She's like, you've got to have the keys.
So, I mean, we, you know, because we have an organ player and a piano guy.
Yeah.
So two keyboard players.
That's
awesome. But just, you know, we're having a five pieces in the band, really it changes the dynamic, especially when the four of us were all on the same page. And Tim was kind of not on the same page. But so the guy in the band said, you know, the band sounds really good with Tim in it. We should get Tim back in the band if he wants to be in the band. And I said, Tim, how do you feel about that? And he says, okay, yeah, I want to do it. So since he's been back with us, everything's been great. So knock on wood.
You know, the dynamic of the family band, because it is family.
Oh my gosh.
It's marriage, it's family, it's the whole thing. And it's good because it's people. Yeah. People change, things change for people. You know, everyone's growing in different directions, no matter what. I mean, look at every band, like someone's got side projects. I mean, you think right now, even just, you just think of every single person has a side project that they want to do because they have something else inside beyond the band.
But a bunch of creative people being in the same small space. Like I look at musicians and I always think, man, we had a band and we had lots of drama. So we don't have a band anymore.
That's a good book.
It was pretty funny. So we could see how musicians handle things. And then as an artist, painting artist, put five artists in the same room and see what happens. It's worse. It's like somebody don't come walk up and paint on your painting like, do it this way, and then you're automatically do not touch my canvas, you know. So it's like, it just creative people, some get along really well and others are like sparks, man.
Yeah, Buttheads, exactly.
Yeah, yes. Buttheads.
Yeah, you buttheads or you are a butthead. I don't know which one, but it's all about the buttheads.
Buttheads.
I don't know if I had mentioned this before, but in the last year, I think I said some. I did have a side project. I was doing a long run tribute. I was filling in for in an Eagles tribute band. It was called the Long Run, and so I was doing that right around the time that Eddie passed. And then because we had that period of time when we didn't have a drummer, we were trying to find our way. I started doing that, but I told the guys, I said, "Listen, I'm only doing this until you get somebody." So I was the Don Henley guy.
Ah.
So that was actually one of the reasons why I recorded Heart of the Matter on the last record, was because I was singing that song and they get my guys were going, "Hey, we should record that. It's, you know, we do that pretty good, you know, let's record that and do a video of it." So that's why we did that particular song. But so, I don't like the side thing now because it just takes too much time away from me trying to work on the Levesey.
Well, the Levesey's, I mean, because you guys have got, like, this is your fifth album now.
Yes.
And, you know, having that stopping point, obviously you're doing a lot creatively, you're writing. How did you actually record both albums? Did you guys do it all through Zoom, Skype, or whatever? Or, I mean, did you get in a studio together? How did you, because sounds to me like you're in a studio.
We record right here in my house.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So both albums are recorded here in my house.
Sweet.
I'm sorry.
I said sweet because it's got a nice warm vibe to it. No, it feels nice and warm, like you're all together, you know? So I'm like, this doesn't sound like piece together.
I'll write the songs and I'll record them. Okay. By myself, you know, I'll program the drums and so on and so forth.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
And then, but I don't play keys. So I start bringing everybody in, I'd say, here's the song. What do you think? You know, yeah, we could do this. You know what? You know, they'll come up with little changes and things like that. Let's try this or try that. And I say, okay. But everybody puts down their own part once the song is already recorded. Mm-hmm. So, and we rehearse here at my house, and you know, we haven't been going out and doing anything. Everybody's all, you know, we've all been backed, and you know, and so
we've all been prodded.
Yeah.
Or pricked.
So long as they don't make us bend over in the doctor's office, I'm good.
Seriously.
Sorry.
Where are we going with this?
I don't know. I took a detour. I'm good at the detours. But but yeah, I mean, it's neat to have that warm vibe of everyone, you know? So give everyone a rundown of who is in the band now. Everyone's names, who's doing what and where.
Okay, everybody's the same as last year. The Howard Goldberg is the drummer. And by the way, on this album, there's three tracks that Eddie plays on. And there's also one track, Hold Me, that was basically a song that we always played live. And I had a recording of it from a drummer friend of ours who passed about 4 or 5 years ago. So I had that recording with that drummer. And so we just left that drummer on. And we just, everybody kind of came in and redid their part. And that's on Hold Me. So anyway, Howard Goldberg is the drummer. Tim Murphy is the piano guy that was gone and came back. Cookie Berrios is the organ guy, Hammond organ player. And George LaPlume is the bass player.
Awesome. Awesome.
I meet Billy Levesey. I'm the singer.
Levesey. He's a Levesey, the legacy of the Levesey. Yeah. You know, but you're going to hang around a lot. We're not ready for your legacy yet, you know, but you know, when you're performing, you've got a gig coming up because you've got the album release party. How good is that going to feel to be out and performing for an album release? Not just a gig that this is like, you know, hey, we're back out and playing. That's got to feel super cool.
It is. It's very cool. Only because, you know, we haven't, the last time the Levesey's played was the beginning of August 1st. So that's the last show that we played, whether it was the tribute thing or the Levesey. So a month will pass. We've been rehearsing because we have to relearn the songs. That's a whole nother thing too, is We're not playing the whole album. We're doing 8 songs off the album, and we're doing a combination of those songs and songs from the last album. And then so that we don't bore people with just playing all these original songs, because we're doing 1 2-hour show.
Okay.
So 2 hours is a bit of a long time for people to sit when they're really not familiar with the songs that they were playing. So we do original versions of cover songs that we play, you know, like the cover versions that are on the records we're playing.
Right on.
So we're doing Heart of the Matter, and the fact that Fall Behind, which is a cover song that we've always played, and that's on the record also. So, and we do some original versions of some old soul songs. So all the music is in the same genre, but it's a 2-hour show. So we're doing trying to use original songs from 5 records and original versions of cover songs.
Right on. So everyone, this is September 10th, and you're in Fort Lauderdale. This is going to be in Boca Raton, right? The Funky Biscuit?
Yeah, the show's the Funky Biscuit.
I want to go to the Funky Biscuit.
I know. I want one. I want a Funky Biscuit.
Hopefully they'll be, you know, if you're down. Oh, there's a place in Satellite Beach called Lou's Blues.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
So, it's right there, Satellite Beach, Melbourne area. So they bring in, you know, people of stature sometimes. So check it out. Lou's Blues.
Oh, man. Okay. That's a good name too. But yeah, I mean, we really, I think it's, you know, you miss live music. And it was so funny. It was at the very beginning of the pandemic. Remember, we all thought it was 1 month, right?
Yeah. Like
everybody.
Maybe.
And
two.
It was, so it was the end of May. We were up in Northwest Colorado in Grand Junction, walking the downtown and photographing their public art for a story. And all of a sudden we heard the setup of a band and we're like, oh my God. Ooh. And of course they were socially distant, and everyone was masked except for the singer. And she was good. And the joy you feel of suddenly hearing live music, like pure joy. I can't even, that feeling to me was huge. So I think for people not going out and I know, hopefully being safe too, because, you know, we really don't want any more deaths.
Right. Well, that's,
I mean, it's
thing.
Bad again, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing, you know, doing this show on the 10th, you know, everybody had mixed emotions about it, because the fact that, you know, we don't want to put people in jeopardy because they want to come see us. I mean, I have a lot of musician acquaintances that they've all gotten COVID, and they've all, you know, they go out and play, and they just, you know, they... It's just crazy. But now that everybody thought that, okay, now that the vaccine is here in June, July, it seemed like, okay, everything's coming back. We're back at it again. And so now things are, especially in Florida, you know, things are a bit sketchy. Mm-hmm. So we have mixed emotions. We're really looking forward to playing, but, you know, we kind of think that if a lot of people don't come out and see us, we'll understand why. We're still going to have fun because we can be on that stage and we don't have to go out and mingle with people. You know, we can wave from a distance. And so, but, you know, we'll definitely have fun. We'll definitely be psyched to play. And but it is a bit sketchy. Yes.
It's scary because I think it's when cocktail time happens that people forget the social distance.
They forget.
And we get into the I love you, man stage.
Yeah.
And then... the squat dancing. And I love you, man. And the squat dancing. That's what happens.
The
squat dance, you know. So, you know,
everybody wants pictures.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, hey, can I get a picture? Hey, can I, you know, get a picture? And then, you know, wearing masks. And it's like, you don't want to be rude, but you want to be safe at the same time. So it gets crazy. Matter of fact, when we, for the Rhythm of Love and Dysfunction, I don't know if we spoke with you after or before we did the CD release party for that record, but that was that show really was, even though we were psyched to play, when it came time to do the show, it really left a bad taste in our mouth because the show wasn't all that good. And it was just, the didn't do the things that they said they were going to do. And they were a bit rude to us. And it was just, and our keyboard player got.
Dare they?
Oh no.
Yeah. So, I mean, luckily he didn't get real sick. I mean, he got sick, but you know, he wasn't hospitalized. No. So and that was the last show we did, and we didn't play from then all the way until June.
Wow. It's hard, especially, you know, I think no matter what, for the vocalists when you're singing, right, to have your lungs be compromised is really a scary thing. But even anybody in the band, there is, well, I don't care if it's keys, you know, drums, you're using cardio. It's all cardio. You're moving, you're breathing, and you're breathing in time with the music. So it's really hard if you can't breathe, you know. Right. That's a scary part of it. But I think, you know, there's been so much, it's been interesting, all the live streaming and all of that that's been going on Facebook. Some musicians are, I'm making more money than I did before, and I don't have to deal with this other thing. So it's this interesting world of, you know, depending on who and, you know, what and where. But the one thing you have is albums. I love that people can purchase the album on your website too, which is great. Because it's, I know there's Spotify and everything. We want, like, when people purchase music, they want the money to go to the band. You know, so Bandcamp is one of the best, right? I think for people at this point. For people to purchase?
Yes. Well, either that or the website. I mean, you know, website, they can purchase directly from there. Your Stripe and Venmo and Zelle.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool that we have all that set up. It's almost like the internet was set up for the pandemic. It's like we knew. It's like if we didn't have the internet during the pandemic, could you imagine? You know?
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, it's just like you're saying too, so much has happened. Look at the wildfires and hurricanes and so much has happened that we need good music.
Gotta chill out.
Yeah.
Gotta balance out. You know, it's the Mama Earth is saying something here, people. You gotta listen. You gotta balance out.
And the same things are happening in Europe too.
Exactly. It's worldwide. So it's kind of a, read the writing on the wall. Balance out stuff, you know.
I want to touch base on your album cover. I know we talked about it a little bit, but the fact that it's out on Route 66, and out, like, Nancy and I recognize this area so much, you know, because we used to live out there.
It looks like it's by the Shoe Tree.
It could be near the Shoe Tree, but it looks like a Nipton area, or it could be the Arizona or the California Barstow-y kind of area. Why did you decide? Because here you are in Fort Lauderdale, and, you know, beautiful beaches and all the condos and everything out there. Be careful about buying condos in Miami. That's another thing. Speaking of, it's not funny. It's sad, but it's, why did you decide a desert feel?
Well, it just kind of happened. I mean, like I mentioned to you before about my friend Joe Lopez, who worked for Bruce Springsteen. He was a photographer. He made several trips out west on Route 66 and took all these pictures. He also did the photo for our first album, which is Rose Colored Glasses. I don't know if you've seen that one or not. When we finish, I'll send that one to you and
cool.
He had these pictures, and I saw them, and I was like, you know, some of these places, people are still living in these areas, there's absolutely nothing going on. I'm sure that they have to go 10 miles to get milk or gas or whatever. And it's like, it's definitely not what, you know, what they bargained for, you know, when they first moved to these places, you know, I would think, I don't know, because I've never lived in the desert before. So, but I mean, you can see, I mean, even with, you know, with old gold mines and silver mines that have been abandoned, you know, they're definitely not what anybody's ever bargained for. And the things that happened to us over the last 2 years were definitely, you know, some things that we didn't bargain for. And that's why, like, on the inside of the CD, there's a picture of us, and it's got footprints on it, you know, from people walking on it. So
that's funny.
I like it.
I love it.
That area out there has all these little houses that apparently the state government, I believe, sold
Homesteading
people,
Act, yeah.
Yeah, homes like for $5,000, and they're like little square made out of cinder block homes, tiny little homes, and they kind of just go all across the desert. And as you're driving, they're all abandoned now. Because, and I don't know how anybody could possibly live in the desert in something like that and be inside. I mean, it would just be stifling hot. I don't get it, but they're all kind of abandoned. So it's kind of in that area, looks like your album cover that it looks well, some like out there.
It depends on where you are. Some of them, they have wood and cinder block. It depends. And then Wonder Valley, which is near 29 Palms. Yeah. I mean, we discovered Wonder Valley because we thought there was a lake. We used to print our mag back in our printing days, like 20 years ago. We used to print up in Vegas, and then we printed up Golden Valley. I mean, we know all these, these out in the middle of nowhere towns. Vegas, obviously not, but we were living in the mountains. This is before we lived in the desert. We're living in the mountains in Julian in San Diego before all the fires happened. And we were like in my pickup truck, and we're like, oh, there's a lake. Let's go there. And at a pickup, you know, full of magazines. So we go to the lake. It turns out to be a caldera. It's a volcanic.
Dried up
volcanic thing. It's cool because you can walk up to the top of the volcano. It's really cool. In the spring, you get wildflowers and the lava. It's surreal.
Yeah.
But we kept driving, and it's going Wonder Valley. And I'm like, well, we need gas, and we're starting to run out of gas. And I'm like, I'm sure just over this hill, this place will be. And we ended up at this bar, and we didn't know 29 Palms was like 2-3 miles around the corner was gas stations. We thought we better stop here. And it was this, it was a thrift store, concert venue,
flea market
kind of thing, and a bar, an old school bar with all the locals hanging in there. And they say they sit there. There was the Palms Inn,
Palm Inn.
I don't know, but we got stuck in there with all the locals, and they're like, we just wait for people to come by.
And they all have their favorite joke. And remember,
we cannot
say that joke. She told it's one of the dirtiest joke.
It's filth-
and she pulled and her funny. Pants down, and we're like, it's time to go.
But anyway, that area was like that. So there's a lot of those homesteads.
Oh my gosh.
Wonder Valley is now turned into this art destination, and people are going on buying these homesteads and fixing them up into Airbnbs. And so it's changing a lot, but that desolate. It's still out there. Florida has a bunch of desolation like that too. Some of the areas we went through, that hurricanes have done. So it's kind of earthquakes, hurricanes, all of that. Not what I bargained for, but you have on the album the song "What I Bargained For."
Right. Well, "What I Bargained For" is still, it's not what I bargained for. So, and a couple of people have been saying that's the title cut from the record, but I mean, it's not necessarily, but it's still kind of played into the idea of it's not what I bargained for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I
understand that.
So if COVID went away in 6 months, like completely, would you get the band together and go on the road, go on tour, and go to the desert with this album cover that you have?
I sure would. I'd like to. I would if I could, if the opportunity arose for me to do something like that, I would.
Yes. Got to go play at Pappy and Harriet's out in the desert.
Yeah.
That you got to go there. That's out in Pioneer Town. You got to go there. I mean, when COVID's gone, you guys start traveling and going out and doing performances, call me. I'm going to be like, you got to go here. But live up to the album cover of the destination. They dig your music out there. You don't hear your music. You don't hear that sound anymore, really. And it's kind of with new music. You know what I mean? There's certain sounds, but you don't hear your style as new music anymore, other than what you guys are doing. It's cool.
Because it's old.
But it's new.
No, but it's,
I mean, I've actually thought about going and playing by my, playing alone, with acoustic guitar and just doing the same songwriter thing, everything that I have, I've written on the acoustic guitar. So, I mean, I could play all those songs myself,
Yeah.
So
that'd be cool.
I've thought about doing that also.
Awesome.
There's a guy I pay attention to, the White Buffalo. I don't know if you know who he is or not. Have you ever heard of him, the White Buffalo?
No.
Okay, he's from California. So he's somebody that you might want to check out. He's okay. He does a similar style to what I'm doing. But he travels, you know, he's out west, you know, California, you know, Wyoming, all of that area. So.
Cool. There's a Women of the White Buffalo. That's where it goes to. That's a documentary we covered. Remember, Nancy? They did the What's Happening to Women in Native American Reservations. And it's a fascinating documentary that people should see, but we'll have to check him out. Well, it is awesome to hang out with you again and spend some time. And I want people to know again, the album is Not What I Bargained For. When you're getting that, also get The Rhythm of Love and Dysfunction. You go to thelivesesmusic.com. So it's live says, thelivesesmusic.com. And I always have to have language lessons.
Yes, you do.
I want to close with a song, In a Small Town. Speaking of small towns, cool. we've traveled and lived in a lot of
all
them.
Of them.
So where did this song come from?
This song is actually a co-write. I had this guy that sent me these lyrics about, you know, living in a small town. I thought it would be so I started playing with the lyrics. He didn't play any music, so I had to kind of make things fall into place. So I thought about it, you know, yeah, everybody says about the small town, you know, you got to get away from the small town to make things happen. But I thought it was funny that people that I come in contact with, that I've seen over the years, that, you know, they leave the small town when they're younger and they always wind up coming back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, because they realize that, you know, the world is big out there and there's a lot of crazy things going on. And there's something said about living in a small town where there's no traffic. You know, the cost of living isn't as much. And
everybody.
Yeah, everybody knows your business. You even bring that up about they'll make up the story about you if you don't give them one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. It's so true.
That's where I thought, you know, at the end of the song, then before he gets on that train, he starts having second thoughts about getting on that train because he's going to miss his friends and his family and the things that he, you know, that he grew, the things that he knows about that he grew up doing, you know.
But it's something important. I think we all have that thing where, you know, when you're young and it's at one point it's your military or you're going to travel or go to college and there's that backpacking adventure for 2 years or a year or whatever, you've got to travel to understand who you are sometimes. And I'm still stuck in my playlist of travelers songs because it seems that it's always about, I mean, we travel full time. So I suppose, are we soul searching, Nancy?
I don't know.
We just want to see as many animals as we can. But
I think we're having
just
fun.
The movie Nomad?
Huh?
Yeah.
The movie Nomad.
That's it. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's it. You know, just keep going. But I think there's something, it helps you come back. Like when you travel, you come back home, you go, okay, this is what I really enjoy. And sometimes you don't see what you appreciate and you take things for granted. Like when we go to different towns, like, you know, we'll have people from visitor bureaus take us around and go here, go there, and we'll see something that they don't think should be on the list or didn't think of that we are like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Like, who has this? No one else does. And they're like, oh, I never thought of that as something that's unique or special. And then they're like, oh yeah, you know, it really is because this happened here, this, that. So it's, you have to get away to get back in.
You have to have fresh eyes.
You need the bird. Yeah. The bird's eye view.
Yeah. You know? Fresh eyes.
Yeah. So I really, I appreciate that song a lot and I'm excited we get to play it. And hopefully we'll get you're going to maybe hopefully do a video with that at some point. That'll be cool too.
Yes, I think so.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Thanks again, everyone. Yeah. TheLivesesMusic.com and keep up with us at BigBlendRadio.com. We air Monday through Friday. Just go to BigBlendRadio.com and see our shows or listen to them. Do whatever you want. We're on every outlet. All right. Thanks so much, Billy. You take care.
Thank you very much.
Billy.
Okay.
Well, I'm standing at the station, I can hear that train whistle call my name. I got a ticket in my pocket to the city where dreams are made. Oh, it may be a star I'm chasing, but I feel like I'm wasting in a small town that's seen better days. Well, life is simple and there are no mountains left to climb. A town so small I would miss it if I closed my eyes. I'll climb aboard that rail, take my seat and then exhale as I travel out across the great divide. In a small town where everyone knows everyone. In a small town where everything's the same and strangers are looked upon like aliens and life is so mundane. I believe there's more for me than to spend it hopelessly in a small town. I got a honey with her feet planted firmly on the streets of this small town. She's got everything she needs and doesn't want to leave this small town. But I could not persuade her. It seems my dreams evade her. She says she's happy, but I have my doubts. In a small town where everyone knows everyone. In a small town where everything's the same and strangers are looked upon like aliens and life is so mundane. I believe there's more for me than to spend it hopelessly in a small town. In a small town where everybody talks about who's loving who and who's got what. Just another boring headline is all it's gonna be. Well, I've seen enough to know it's not for me. So I grab my bag as a man says, all aboard. There's a little hesitation as I'm stepping through the door. My emotions start to swell like a fighter at the bell as I'm standing toe to toe against myself. In a small town where I know everyone. In a small town where friends call out my name. And I remember spending time with family and all the ones I love. And I recall the silly things I did when I was young in a small town.